I'd like if we could turn again to the Gospel by Luke. What's laid on my heart is to talk together a little about some of the great divine disclosures that are made in the Gospel by Luke. And firstly, let's read some verses in the first chapter. There may be verses that we've already looked at, but it's just to get a line on the idea of the absolute accuracy of this wonderful gospel and the methodical way in which it is presented to us. Chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 25, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I would like to refer to one or two other scriptures, but we will do so as we go along. What is laid upon my heart, and I do feel in need of the help and direction of the Lord to communicate it. It is the wonder of those divine disclosures, the communications that God has made in various ways by angelic beings, by people here, by the Father's voice, and by various other ways. There has been in this particular gospel that we're looking at this week and enjoying the precious thoughts of it, there has been unfolded to us the wonder of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is always calculated, beloved brethren, to stir our hearts. Ministry connected with his person. And I'm sure we've really felt this already, that when we are directed to the person of the Lord Jesus, then our hearts are stirred by it. And I'm sure as we've gone through the various parts up till today, we have really realized what a wonderful, powerful disclosure, what a far-reaching disclosure has been made to us in the power of the Holy Spirit of God from his holy word. I just want to touch on this. Obviously, I have no intentions of going into the details of this, but just with regard to highlighting those divinely given communications in order that in our time in considering this book, we might have time, probably leisure time, to look and enjoy and revel in the wonder of it all, because it really is something that stirs our hearts. And this afternoon's consideration, of course, brought one great powerful truth, I believe, to our hearts, was that the future is bright before us. The best is yet to be. We talk about the darkness that surrounds us today, and I suppose we cannot but be affected by it, but the fact of the glory that's revealed and was revealed, as we've said, the veil was just for a moment or two drawn aside to reveal to those people something of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus that will shine out in the day to come. And when we thought about this, we thought that the future before us, the brightness and the glory of the future, ought to have a very marked impress upon our hearts today. There ought to be that will touch our hearts and give us to see the need for true discipleship, walking in true self-denial here in view of the glorious day when we'll be with the Lord Jesus in that scene of glory, and when we shall reign with him in that world to come, which is so glorious and so wonderful. So the first impression that we get, and we talked about this, and therefore I won't go into a lot of detail, was from Gabriel the angel, and he communicated something, and it's very marked that he stood in the presence of God as if waiting for the cue to go and make this tremendous announcement. And of course, in Luke's gospel, we know that from the 24th chapter, that we can go right back to the book of Genesis. The Lord Jesus said that the books of Moses, there were things concerning himself, and we go back to Genesis 3 and we think of the fact of the woman's seed bruising the serpent's head and his heel being bruised. And we've had some thoughts about this, I'm sure. But the fact is that everything has pointed forward to this moment. We've been talking today about Old Testament characters, Moses and Elijah, how they knew and looked forward. We're told too that Abraham looked forward. The Lord Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. He saw it and was glad. They're looking forward to a moment, and that moment had dawned. And then that angel who stood in the presence of God was commissioned to go with the message. What a tremendous message it was that was communicated by the angel Gabriel, so that he gave from heaven this disclosure, this testimony that resulted in this woman Mary rejoicing. If we have what was called the Annunciation, we have here what is called the Magnificat, that which came out from the soul of this woman. And of course we know and have talked about this too, that although she realized it was a wonderful thing that was happening to her, she also realized that she needed a Savior. And she rejoiced in her Savior. And that, I think, puts it in its right perspective for us to see where Mary fits into this beautiful picture. And she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And I think we've felt like this week already, that our soul should magnify the Lord because of all that is disclosed to us in this wonderful book. Then again, we think about those shepherds. They weren't the intelligence of the day. Maybe in Matthew's gospel, we get some glimpse of the higher ranking people, but here there was the simple shepherds as they watched their flocks. And this communication was made to them. And I love this word here where it says, and they said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that is done. The coming into this world, the entrance into this world of the Lord Jesus Christ, heralded by the angels, spoken of by Mary, and heralded by those shepherds, humble shepherds, coming to him. And then we come to Simeon. And I think it's beautiful, some of the things that are said about this man. He waited. He was of a great age, and he'd waited. He was waiting for a moment to dawn. And this is something about the accuracy and the method of the disclosure in this gospel, that this man Simeon was waiting for this moment. And when the moment came, he took the child in his arms. You know, I think it's in John's gospel where it's just about our hands have handled of the word of life. He embraced the child and made that wonderful statement. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a disclosure. When that man who had waited for that very moment had the child in his arms and made this remarkable statement, my eyes have seen thy salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles. We were talking this afternoon only about the glory of that universal dominion of the Son of Man when he shines in all his glory. And Simeon, when he had the child in his arms, in that child he could see the one who should take that place of glory, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. That means that it covers the whole extensive idea of the kingdom. That glorious kingdom that Daniel spoke of, a kingdom to end all kingdoms, a glory of the person of the Lord Jesus shall shine out supreme in it. Simeon's disclosure is worth a very, very careful consideration. He gives a wonderful declaration of that glorious day that we're talking about that ought to impress us now and ought to color our lives now. For we're going on to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the woman Anna. She was of a great age to evidently like Simeon, waiting for some event to take place. And then she makes this pronouncement. And she speaks of him to all those who look for redemption in Israel. What a wonderful thing it is to think about those two personalities in this second chapter, where we get the powerful declaration of Simeon and the definite, accurate declaration of Anna, the blessing of the coming into this world of the person of the Lord Jesus. I would like to read a verse or two in chapter 4. So the development of this babe, the seed, the leaf, the full corn, growing up into manhood. And therefore, chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And he said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Oh, the wonder of this part of the disclosure, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who entered in by way of the manger of Bethlehem, here he is in the midst of those learned men, and he's disclosing that all those Old Testament scriptures, with all their careful enunciation of truth that was yet to come, all fulfilled in himself. And we see, as we look back over the Old Testament, how it all gathers up and comes to be centered in this glorious person whose voice is heard there, and the eyes of all them that heard him were centered upon him. I think this was mentioned in the gospel meeting. Would that our eyes, and I suppose it's true to refer it to those unsaved people, but oh, it's true for us believers, dear brethren, to have our eyes fixed in Jesus. And I think that what is our consideration this week is calculated to fix our eyes on this glorious person, all the scriptures fulfilled in him. And then further on, there's just the I'll not read chapter 9. It's one of the great disclosures. But we talked about it this afternoon to some length, and we realize the wonder of this disclosure when the veil is drawn aside. And the glory of the kingdom is revealed. The brightness of the light that will shine out in that eternal day is revealed. And therefore, we perhaps can pass on. I want to make a reference, and they also want to leave some time for somebody else to speak, but the reference that I would like to look at is at the end of the gospel in chapter 24. We were singing this afternoon, "Lord, our hearts are burning." And you know what set the burning hearts was the disclosures that the Lord Jesus made about himself to those two sorrowing people who were going away. And so we'll read some verses in chapter 24. Chapter 24. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was, say, Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. What a tremendous disclosure this was to those sad hearts, hearts that were troubled, to have this from the lips of the Lord Jesus disclosed to them the truth concerning his glorious person, that this one who had been laid in the grave was risen from the dead. These words are so striking because they come from the Lord Jesus, who was risen from the dead. The words of the risen Savior spoken to those in that time. So that what I really have in my heart is to draw your attention to the voices that we hear in Luke's Gospel, to the communications that are made in Luke's Gospel, and to the tremendous far-reaching effects of what was accomplished at the cross, and to see the glory and the light of the future shining upon us now, inspiring us to the path of discipleship. But I want just to look at these three things, the books of Moses, and further on, he said, the prophets and the Psalms, things concerning himself. If we think of Genesis 3, and think of that scripture that we quoted a minute or two ago, that the prediction given then, soon as the reign of sin began, the light of mercy dawned for man. When God announced the blessed news, the woman's seed, his head, shall bruise. Away back there, so distant, in the early books of Genesis, the prediction that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, and he himself is saying, things concerning me. And he is the one who has bruised the serpent's head. He has defeated the power of sin. He's gone into death. He's broken the power of death. And he's set free all those for all the lifetime subject to bondage. And he's made us free. And here we are, gathered together here once more, freed from that bondage and in the liberty and in the joy of the experience of knowing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being able to enter into those disclosures that are made and to understand something of what is set out in himself. And so when we come to think about the prophets, we think of that outstanding prophecy in Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah 53. Who is the person? Only Jesus. Cannot be anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ, who has borne our sins and our griefs and our sorrows, the one who has borne our iniquities, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, Jesus. And so the wonder of the cross is set out there. And then when we come to think about that, in that, not only is the power of sin broken and the power of death defeated, but the wonder of salvation is brought to us, and we are brought into the joy and the blessing, because sins are dealt with and we're free. And then the Psalms. The Lord Jesus speaks about the Psalms, the things concerning us. Psalm 22 tells us, not only is the power of sin broken, not only can we experience the blessing because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, but God is satisfied. The holiness of God has been fully met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How worthy he is to fill the throne, and its rights to him belong. And the coming glorious day will show how wonderful this is. And the voice that we heard this afternoon was, hear him. Listen to him. Listen to the voice that speaks to us from the pages of Luke's Gospel. Listen to those disclosures made in so many ways to center our hearts and our minds on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord continue to help us through this week to do just that, to have our hearts and our minds centered upon him, so that our lives and our walk and our discipleship may be affected by what we see of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.